Peter Parrott, that's spelled P-E-R-R-E-T-T, was born in 1952, and growing up, he was a chess prodigy at boarding school, so not surprisingly, he was also tormented by bullies. But as a teenager, he saw Pink Floyd with Syd Barrett, he saw the Stones at Hyde Park, then he saw Dylan at the Isle of Wight Festival, and his fate was sealed. With him at these shows was his future wife, Zena, 2 years his senior, who taught him to play guitar, apparently, and would later manage his band. Parrott supported himself as a hash dealer while skipping classes at North London Polytechnic, and in 1972, he formed his first band, England's Glory, with drummer John Newey and Zena's brother Harry, who would later join Squeeze on bass. They recorded some demos and got some A&R interest, but failed to secure a record deal.
It's hard to get on when you don't believe in love anymore. All the suffering has gone and things the way they were before. These times are too rough for you. You can't the things the film stars do. You shine as clear as any moon. Yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do.
In the meantime, Parrott's wife Zena had started designing vinyl fetish wear, and this is how she met a guy named Malcolm McLaren. Malcolm McLaren, in turn, tried to recruit Zena's husband Peter to front a band he was thinking about putting together. His vision for this band being a raunchy Bay City Rollers. I think you can figure out what band Malcolm McLaren was putting together, but Peter Parrott wasn't interested. He wanted to form his own band, which he soon did with a guitar player he met named John Perry, a bassist named Alan Meyer, who had been a member of a band called the Beat Stalkers, who were supposedly like the Scottish Beatles, and on drums, former Spooky Tooth drummer Mike Kelly, a session guy who suddenly found himself slumming it in the world of punk rock. It was 1976. The name The Only Ones came to Peter in a dream. Keith Richards became interested in the band and agreed to possibly produce them, But then he got busted in Toronto with 5 grams of cocaine and 22 grams of heroin in his hotel room, and the only ones never heard from him again. But they did get a recording of the song Prisoners out of it. The Only One's first single, Lovers of Today, was self-released on a label they called Vengeance Records, and it was immediately made Record of the Week by 3 of the 4 main music papers in the UK. The band scored a 6-week residency at London's Speakeasy, and this is where Parrott met Johnny Thunders, and they started scoring smack together.
Comes along, then you make the Christmas day.
Meanwhile, the record companies were sniffing around. Seymour Stein from Sire Records took the band out to dinner. Chris Blackwell from Island Records flew in to see them and told them he'd match any offer. In the end, they signed with CBS Records just so their records would have the same orange label as Bob Dylan's. In April of 1978, The Only One's debut single, Another Girl, Another Planet, was released. Even though it seemed guaranteed to be a hit, it wasn't. And the band and the label were disappointed and confused.
I look ill, but I don't care about it.
The first Only Ones album is a pretty good record and a weird one, given the time period. It looked like a punk record, and a lot of it sounded like a punk record, but this is what New Wave was at the time. It felt different from what had come before, and yet there was a lot more going on here than what the Sex Pistols were up to. Peter Parrott wrote all the songs, and he took his artistry very seriously. In between shooting up, he was a great artist.
Why do I go through these deep emotional traumas? Why can't I be like I always wanted? I'd be happy like everybody else. There's no peace for the wicked, they say. No peace for the wicked, loud and clear. No peace for the wicked, the angels tell me. No peace for the wicked. Sitting at home, trying to forget the world outside. Hostility. There's no of the wicked, they sing the peace of the wicked loud and clear. No peace for the wicked, the angels tell me, no peace for the wicked.
The second Only Ones album, Even Serpents Shine, only would peak at number 42 on the charts in March of 1979, so it wasn't even as successful as the debut, but that's only commercially speaking. Artistically speaking, the record is a triumph, better than the debut in every respect.
Now I know what you want, but I don't know how to give it. Together has been cursed. I don't know which one of us is worse. Is it the one who lies or the one who hurts? It's a crime. It's a crime. I'm always in the wrong place and the wrong time. You say I should be there. Don't tell me where you're living. It serves as ammunition for my thirst. I practice spiritual research among the ancient ruins covered in dirt. It's my work. It's my work. I'm always in the wrong place and the wrong dirt. Love is your guiding light, it's like a flaming torch. You can see magic in the night as the flames start to distort. I can hear bells again, oh, they never stop ringing. They remind me of the distant past, looking through a window of stained glass, when the pledge was made and the spell was cast. It's a crime. It's a crime. I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Even Serpents Shine is almost as good as it gets for that era, that genre. Just immaculate songwriting.
Some girls tell you they're loving you, but love is just destruction disguised under another name. I show, I fight.
But the only ones who had seemed poised to be the next big thing were being passed by all the other next big things, most of whom they were probably better than. And with each disappointment, Peter Parrott's heroin use increased. The only one's third album, Baby's Got a Gun, came out in 1980, and it's still a quality album, but it's not in the same league as Even Serpents Shine.
I'm gonna give it to you. We'll never.
none of the three Only Ones albums were released in the U.S. Instead, in 1979, Epic Records released an album called Special View, which included the two songs from the band's independent debut single and then a selection of 10 songs from those first two albums. Following the release of Baby's Got a Gun, the Only Ones were invited to open for The Who on a leg of their U.S. tour, but things didn't go well. First off, apparently Roger Daltrey was not impressed with the band's offstage antics, or maybe even their onstage antics. He didn't like them. And at some point, a strung-out Peter Parrott got mugged, so he became even more paranoid. Then, in San Francisco, after an altercation, he intentionally hit a parking lot attendant with his rental car.
Everybody thinks they're one. Everybody thinks they're stronger than everybody else. They see what happens to their friends. They don't believe that's how they're gonna end. If you do, she just rips out your heart.
Upon arriving in New York, CBS Records informed the band that a warrant had been issued for Parrott's arrest for attempted murder. The group immediately flew home to England, canceling all remaining tour dates, and it was curtains for them, although they would not officially break up until 1982.
Yeah.
So that's the condensed story of the Only Ones, a band with huge potential, surrounded by other bands with huge potential. It was a very fertile time for that kind of music. But they had material, they had the kind of material to stand out from the crowd. But for some reason, just in terms of the public, they didn't stand out. Even though they had great songs, they had great style, they had a very charismatic front man, they had a lot going for them. They were great musicians as well. Peter Parrott was a supremely gifted songwriter, but he followed in the footsteps of his idol, Syd Barrett, and upon the breakup of the band, he tiptoed into obscurity, resurfacing years later as eccentric as ever. So back in 1998, before I was familiar with the internet, before eBay, all of that was just on the horizon, but I didn't know about it yet. So at that point in time, it was virtually impossible for a record collector to get his hands on the Only Ones albums, the three main records. They were not even released in the United States, and I never even came across the American album Special View at the time. I had a compilation album that had Another Girl, Another Planet on it, just a various artist comp, and I had read about all the band's albums in the Trouser Press books, and I think I had a live cassette I bought from a catalog, but the Only Ones records were kind of, they were definitely one of my holy grails at that point. And I was living in Austin, Texas at the time, made a record shopping excursion to San Antonio Pretty unsuccessful excursion. No Google Maps. I just had addresses and a road map. Wasn't working out. I don't remember finding any good record stores, really. But that day, I ended up in this head shop. One of those places where you come out reeking of incense. And in the back corner, hidden behind another shelf, the carpeting ended at that shelf. Behind that shelf, it was a cement floor. It was dark, no light. There were literally cobwebs on the shelves on these records. Maybe 100, 200 records. Literally hidden on a shelf behind a shelf, cobwebs attached. And there I found all four Only Ones albums on vinyl. I found some other great stuff as well. So I took a stack of records to the counter. A stack that I could not afford, according to the prices on the sleeves. But also, I could not walk out of the store without these records. So I told the kid behind the counter, I can't afford these, but I can't leave without them. And I just sat there. I sat on a stool with the records on the glass counter in front of me. And I just sat there and I wouldn't leave. He told me the records were the owner's personal collection. So the guy had good taste. I wouldn't leave. I just sat there. I didn't have enough money on me to pay for these records, not the way they were priced, but also I could not physically leave the store without the records. So finally, the kid sighed and said, all right, $4 each, but I can't ring it up as a sale. That's what he said. So I paid him and I left, and he probably pocketed the cash, and I had all four Only Ones albums and still do.
Traveled with nothing to gain, and though the pleasures will always be treasured, it's a shame it came to such drastic measures. Indecision, lack of conviction, slow addiction, vain in what you're trying to say. If you are a slave to love, you're gonna pay and pay and pay. By the tone of the letters you sent, what was once sacred is now filled with hatred. How come such love can be dissipated? I've had enough of all this poison and decay. If you wanna come face to face with love, you gotta pay.
A lot of people know Another Girl, Another Planet. Many of them don't even know the name of the band, let alone the name of the guy who wrote it. That is a great song. It's a classic of the era, a classic of the genre, power pop, punk, new wave, whatever you want to call it. But as you've heard, the Only Ones had a lot of other great songs besides Another Girl, Another Planet. They were a lot more than just that one song.
Take the crutch away from you and watch you fall down. It's a shame about a girl like you always falling down. I see the way you're looking, it's a silent rhapsody. I know there's something cooking, I know I've seen that film before. The end is so predictable, you gotta learn to live again. That's the final twist. I really hate to see my friend cease to exist. The enemy we're fighting, he's inside.
And now, to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with a song from The Only Ones' 1977 Peel session. This song would not appear on any of the subsequent albums, so here it is. Unreleased song by The Only Ones called Oh No. Till next time.
I'm not.
be back.